Now may the words of my mouth and meditations of my heart be acceptable unto thee, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. It only comes once a year. There's so much to remember, isn't there, on these special times. I really had fun writing this sermon this week, and I couldn't wait to come share this with you. I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord. If we examine the story of John the Baptist, we soon realize that the wilderness is not just the barren desert in which we lived, in which he lived, nor the hills or valleys that he traversed. These desolate and empty places are symbolic of the world in which we live and are no different than the days in which the scriptures were written. Thus, the wilderness not only represents raw nature, but is symbolic of basic mankind. In many ways, we acknowledge that everything has changed and nothing has changed. Yes, man has made great strides with advances in math, physics, chemistry, and the arts, but man himself has not changed considerably. Even today, we are no more than empty shells until we have the Spirit of God in the form of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. In his critically acclaimed book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis compares mankind to toy soldiers. He tells us that as much as we want our toys to come alive, well, they don't. Disney's Pixar studio makes movies like Toy Stories believable, but they are just that, stories. They are good examples of spinning yarns, but they are imaginary. Woody, Jesse, Buzz Lightyear, Rex, Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, Little Bo Peep, and all the others may be alive on cinematic screen, but in real life they are just figments of our imagination. Indeed, all of mankind is created in the image of God, but that is it. We are no more than an image, a reflection in the mirror. Yes, we are living and breathing in the flesh, but we are dead in the spirit until we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. So who was the voice crying in the wilderness? And what was his relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, his name was John the Baptist. For starters, his mother Elizabeth, a descendant of Aaron, and Jesus' mother Mary, a descendant of David, were cousins. There were no families more honored by God than the families of Aaron and David. God honored them by establishing a priestly covenant through Aaron. Likewise, God established a royal covenant and gave David a kingdom. John's father was a priest named Zacharias, while Jesus' adoptive father was a construction worker named Joseph. Elizabeth was barren, so it was a miracle that she was able to conceive and have a child, John. Likewise, Mary was a virgin, so physiologically, correct me if I'm wrong, Dr. Irving, we all know it took a miracle for Christ to be born, his name Jesus. In Luke 1:6, we read, Zacharias, a descendant of the house of Aaron, as well as Elizabeth, were righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances, and blameless before the Lord. For the record, Joseph was a descendant of the house of David and was deemed an extraordinary man before God, while Mary was seen as highly favored before God. For a closer look at John the Baptist, let us review from Scripture some background on God's chosen announcer. In John 1:11 through 20, we read, Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, Do not be afraid, Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn away many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, or turn to God many of the children of Israel. He will also go before him in the same spirit and power of Elisha, to turn the hearts of the fathers of the children to the disobedient, to their wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this? I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." And I'm preparing the lesson for next Sunday. And a lot of this is even recorded in Genesis. But in light of this reading, let us consider the following seven precepts or truths and how they bind Jesus and John the Baptist together. First of all, God our Creator sent Gabriel to announce the births of both John and Jesus, and that was 6 months apart. These are the only two births announced by God through Gabriel in the recorded scriptures. Number two, Gabriel introduces himself by saying, "Fear not," so that the receiver of God's word would not panic or rebuke him as an aberration. Number three, Gabriel speaks in a language that is discernible to man's ear. It wasn't some Martian language. Number four, God himself names the two lads. He gives Zacharias' son's name John, and he gives Joseph's son's name Jesus. John in Hebrew, by the way, means gracious. John the Baptist, number five, is filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb. Of historic and chronological significance, this occurs before the apostles at Pentecost, when Jesus said he would send a comforter, or the Holy Spirit, to be with his believers, thus revealing the presence of the Holy Spirit in both Jesus Christ and John the Baptist before Pentecost. Number six, Zacharias was muted for several months until the birth of his son John. In comparison to Joseph, now listen to this, Joseph, whose words are never recorded in the scripture, no, not one. Thus, both fathers can be deemed as being essentially mute. Zacharias and Elizabeth in the New Testament were advanced in age, which is in common with their counterparts Abraham and Sarah in the Old Testament. Abraham's son Isaac would father a son Jacob, who would become father of the 12 tribes of Israel. Zacharias' son John proclaimed to the descendants of those 12 tribes the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. There is also a wonderful story how John the Baptist and Jesus Christ met. Their initial meeting was not what we would ordinarily consider in person. They met when they were still in each other's mother's uterus or womb. When Mary and Elizabeth first met after becoming pregnant, the scriptures record that John the Baptist leapt for joy at the meeting of Jesus in the womb. In St. Luke 1, verse 40, we read, "As it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was also filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" And we say that in the rosary, don't we? Here we understand that Elizabeth's reception of the Holy Spirit is limited to the spirit of prophecy. There are other examples of the Holy Spirit revealing himself in Scripture, such as the aged Simeon, who in St. Luke 2 when he sees the Christ child with Mary and Joseph in the temple, gives him a blessing, because God had promised Simeon, a devout man, that he would meet the Savior of mankind before his departing from this world. So there are other examples of the Holy Spirit moving among us. Also of particular note, John was born 6 months before Christ. For this reason, we recognize June 24th as the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. As we read in verse 26, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth." In many ways, John and Jesus were very close and had very much in common. For this reason, we can consider John to be like a big brother to Jesus. John was believed to be the Messiah by many of his contemporaries, and he also had a great following. Nevertheless, he repeatedly informed all his followers, all those that would listen to him, that he was only the precursor to the great one who would follow after him. He reminded them that he was human, although he had the same power of Elijah, the great Jewish prophet of the Old Testament, who along with Moses, it is believed, bypassed death and was taken directly to heaven. John was unfamiliar with wine and strong drink, which indicated that he subscribed to the rules of the Nazarenes like Samson. The custom of the Nazarenes was that they abstained from strong drink, they refused to cut their hair, and they avoided grave sites and deceased bodies, including the deceased bodies of their own families. John told everyone that the one who followed him would be the Son of God. As the one who ushered in the Son of Man, we read, "John answered them, saying, I baptize thee with water, but there standeth one among you whom you not know. And he who is coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose." There are three more precepts or truths that are nearly escaped me, and they involve the lifestyle and actions of both John and Jesus. First, both men lived meager lives with very little to no creature comforts. John the Baptist was known to live a frugal life, wearing animal skins, and his diet consisted of locust and wild honey. On the other hand, Jesus is recorded as saying that even the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. In Matthew 8, Jesus says, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Number two, can you imagine? Can you imagine just for one moment that you're a priest and you're standing in a body of water and God sends to you, of all mankind, the Son of God? What an unparalleled honor for John the Baptist to officiate the baptism of the one and only Son of God. It makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up just to think about it. I am sure that God looked down with pleasure on his servant John. We already know that God was pleased with his son Jesus, as we read in St. Luke 3, "And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, You are my blessed Son, in whom I am well pleased." And I believe God was just as pleased with John the Baptist as he was his son. And number three, there was a common thread that in the end or the beginning, depending on which way you look at it, that both John the Baptist and Christ Jesus were both died tragically and without mercy. John the Baptist was beheaded for proclaiming the arrival of a new king who would change the world and bring a new covenant to mankind. The exact method of death was intended to silence the messenger. It was intended to strike fear into his followers and would-be believers. Jesus was gravely moved at the news of his cousin's death, not just for his passing, but as a reminder that he too would meet a painful and tragic death. Jesus met his fate on the arms of a dogwood cross, bearing the sins of the whole world. In closing, as we review the theme of today's lesson, are we not all like John the Baptist in the sense that we are too voices crying in the wilderness? We cry for the others, hoping that they will meet Jesus and make Him Lord of their lives. We cry for the lonely, the downtrodden, the castaways of this world. We cry for each other as Christians when we share in each other's burdens, as well as share in each other's joys. We cry for peace in the world. We cry for Christ's eventual return. Our cries are not cries of sadness. Indeed, our cries are joyful, for behold, we are children of the Most High God. We have salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved us from our sins. Thank God for the voice in the wilderness, the Nazarene named John the Baptist. He proclaimed the good news to both Jews and Gentiles alike, and plowed the field and prepared the way for the person of Jesus Christ to plant the seeds of salvation. He opened the door to the hope of the world and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thus saith the Lord, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.